Chapter 1. Ross.
Once we get this loaded, I'll be good to go, Jackson said, as he and I each slid a 10-gallon jug of biodiesel into the back of the Tacoma. His dark hair was pulled back behind his head, and his beard was trimmed, like he'd taken a few more moments to groom than usual this morning. You're stopping by the hydro plant to grab Bert and Phil on your way to the helipad, then? Or are they meeting you here?
Nah. Jackson distractedly combed his mustache with his bottom teeth and walked over to a stack of duffel bags. He tossed me one.
They're meeting me there. Bird wants to make sure Corey has everything he needs to run things before he leaves, and Phil went with him to make sure Bert is supervised and doesn't scare the kid away from his first lead assignment. I grinned.
Shit, that's right. It's Corey's first time running the plant while you're all gone.
Jackson grunted as he loaded in another 2 diesel jugs. Let's just say Bert's a bit unsettled about it.
I bet he is, I muttered. Corey was a good kid, but he was clumsy. Not to mention, Bert always worried something would go wrong with the hydro plant while he was away, no matter what crew we had on deck or how powerful their abilities were. It was admirable that he took his work seriously, but he'd been known to scare the piss out of a few recruits with the embellished horror stories that accompanied each one of his rules. It wasn't as if we would all die if the plan stopped working, but you wouldn't know that with Bert in charge.
Then I'm glad Phil is going to mediate. Maybe Corey will last longer than Hector did.
Jackson laughed.
Poor Hector.
It's good for the young ones to know the responsibility of this place, I mused. It was a team effort to keep it going. Now that White Horse housed over 200 people, Bert was an old man who'd made it his life to keep the town running, but he wouldn't be around forever. At any rate, the water is rushing with all the spring ice melt, so he won't have to do much. I'll be sure to check in on him from time to time, though. The clouds moved in front of the sun, which was expected on a brisk April afternoon, and a chill swept over my skin. I heaved in an ammo bin from the loading docks, curious if I shouldn't fill a smaller duffel with extra magazines and bullets just in case. Jackson's last scavenging trip with his team to the east hadn't gone as smoothly as it usually did, so we'd packed weapons and provisions more generously this time. After hearing about that other gang altercation outside Edmonton, I'm going to get you another pack of ammo to take, maybe some extra pistols.
Already thought of it, he said, nodding to the cab of the truck. Hell wouldn't let me leave the house without extra reinforcements.
The corner of Jackson's mouth lifted with amusement. It was the same contentment I saw on his face after he'd married my sister, Hannah. I'd been seeing that smirk of his more and more over the past couple of years. It looked good on him. After Hannah and Molly died, I wasn't sure he would ever be happy again, but he was, and I was glad for it. I thought about Kelsey's plummet into insanity and her dying in my arms. Then I pushed the memory away and forced myself to think about the living instead of the dead. Death was a cesspool that tended to suck me in every now and again, and it was all I could do every damn day to keep thinking about life instead.
Beau's angry with me, Jackson said.
Uh-oh, I chuckled and scratched the side of my face. It was always something with Beau.
What did you do now?
Jackson shook his head with a sigh and took a swig from his water jug.
I won't take him with me.
He wiped his mustache with the back of his hand.
He hates me because of it, of course.
Well, I don't blame you for leaving him behind. I leaned against the wheel well, feeling the cool metal through my shirt. Whatever those gangs of kids are up to, it's nothing good. I mean, I get it. The world ends, you're 10 years old, and you can move a tree with your mind or lure a meal right towards you. But at some point, you need direction. You and I saw that all the time with the gangs back in Anchorage, and they had parents and normal problems. You got people like Nora out there leading some of these kids around. It's crazy, scary shit. And now they're getting bored. They want more. I shook my head and thought about the fire outbreaks in the cities caused by some of them. It was only a matter of time before the renegade youth became a bigger issue, even way out here. I know some of them just want to be part of a pack to call family, but they're getting ballsy. They just came up on you last time like they were fearless. Jackson lifted his